hookup for today. The title of my message today is God Will Give Protection. Back in 1983, I got a call wee hours of the morning that I needed to come down to my father's house. Something had happened. And anyway, going down the road, a song came on the radio. The girl from Canada, what was her name? She did a song, We Sure Could Use a Little Good News Today. And when I got down there, I had found that my father had been troubled dealing with things in life, and he had been over a 12-gauge shotgun, or a 20-gauge shotgun rather, and pulled the trigger. But there's a good ending to this, believe it or not. It was the first time in my life that I sought to have a relationship with God. I wasn't looking for a church, I was looking for God. And it made a big difference. And of course, he lived 23 years after that, and he got better, and his quality of his life got better. But we do live in a world that is, and we do live in troubling times. You know, every one of us lives in the presence of terror and destruction and evil. You know, you think you're pretty isolated, and then boom, it was just recently, less than 2 months ago, I have a nephew who is an investigated officer for Henry County. He's actually the head investigating officer. I was talking to him, and it was a lady, an elderly lady, who had been kidnapped and wound up being murdered, then a car was set afire out in the woods. And this was not 6 or 7 miles down the road. But they wasn't from our area. And it come to find out that the guy that is in custody for doing it had actually used to ride with her to work. He was in his 40s, and this lady was in her 70s. And it's just horrible. You know, you think, how could these things happen? This is something that we would see on TV, you know? And it just really brings home how dangerous of a world that we live in. You know, when I was growing up as a kid, we could go out and we could ride bicycles, and we could play all day long with no fear. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to worry about things. But today, we don't live in that world. You know, we can't let our kids out of our sight for 2 minutes, you know, calamity, destruction, kidnapping, all the different things, the horrible things that happen. It's everywhere and it's constant. And we have to constantly be on guard, not only of ourselves, but of our loved ones, our children, our families, those of close association, the possessions that we have. We truly live in the presence of our enemy. But brethren, we must in a greater sense live in the presence of God. In His shadow and under His wing, in His arm. You know, we ought to seek His protection as only He can provide. You know, as Christians, we have an enemy who hates us more than anything else on earth. And we are a threat to that enemy. And sometimes, brethren, I think maybe he's more aware of we're a threat to him than we realize. But we can't live a life in fear as a Christian. We're not called to do it such. We're to trust. We can't always be walking around feeling scared and be overcome by fear and terror. You know, we have a stronghold, and we use it. And brethren, we are to use it. Today I want us to study some of the scriptures that we must keep in the context of them very close in our hearts and in our minds. You know, brethren, one believes that which one practices. That's the truth. If it's a good practice, it shows that we believe that good that we are doing or have a part in our life add values to our life. Likewise, brethren, when we practice things which are not good or bad or that separate us from God, you know, we deceive ourselves into believing that add value to our life also, in some way or in somehow. You know, we must not fear, we must trust Him. So, brethren, we must seek God's protection from that which is our enemy that's all around us, influenced by Satan, but also that enemy that's within inside us that's influenced by Satan. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10, please, for our first scripture for the day. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may also be able to bear it." What is he saying and what is he showing? Here that the enemy is around us in our society, in our culture, in our neighborhoods, and to that which we're accustomed to seeing in this life, connects to that enemy that's still within each one of us. That which we have not fully buried in that watery grave at baptism when we accepted Jesus Christ. It keeps rearing its ugly head. And brethren, Satan, that enemy on the outside, knows that that is around us, knows the signs far too well of that enemy that might still live and exist in us. And he's all too willing to get together again with that enemy and resurrect and recreate those old times. He hates us that bad. So brother, we know through Christ living his life in us, now we can be delivered, but we must pray for that protection, to be mindful to use that which is in you and I, brother, to give us that way of escape. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians, please. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." But we must ask continue. Remember what the scripture says, knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you will find, ask and you will be given. Do nothing and guess what? We'll receive nothing. This life we live in, our Messiah, is a two-way street. As we require, he requires. He is there, but we must ask of him. You know, Christ had to exist with Satan ever since Lucifer fell. He came to this earth, and he overcame Satan to dethrone him and to become the everlasting king. And in doing so, he died that he may live his life in you and I, brethren, that once again, he may exist and deal with Satan in our lives, that we may dethrone him and overcome him and become kings with him also, with Christ. Ever thought about that? Christ came, overthrew the power of Satan, that he could come and live in our lives so we can overthrow the power of Satan. He come to deal with it for us. We cannot do it our own. We simply could not. We wouldn't have a chance. And this is why it is so important to read like the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes as often as possible, or maybe a little bit each day. In the Proverbs, you don't have to turn there, but in Proverbs 2:11, it says, "Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you." Proverbs 4:6 says, "Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you." Throughout the remainder of these chapters, incline your ear to hear wisdom. Cry out for discernment. Lift up your voice for understanding. Discretion will preserve you. Isn't it ironic that Solomon wrote about such wisdoms as these and then rejected it himself? I promise you, the more you read and pray about the messages of Proverbs, the more you become aware of the evil that could still be in ourselves as well as that's around us. And we come to recognize it. This in itself is a form of protection, because we're looking, we're asking. That's what the Proverbs, that's what he's trying to teach us through it. To gain that wisdom and that understanding so that we can see it within ourselves, the good and the bad, to teach ourselves instinct, if you will, to head off when Satan tries to influence our lives. The book of Ecclesiastes is called The Words of the Preacher. You know, we will be priests reigning with Christ, our elderly brother. And as much as anything, the book of Ecclesiastes teaches us a sense of how to put life in perspective as we live to God, or as we don't. Of what is the value of life unless lived to God's purpose? That's what Solomon wound up saying in the end, wasn't it? That's a whole message. We need to think about that. We must read and seek application in our own lives. This again creates protection for us. It's a two-way relationship that we have with God. As we take in His Word, we learn and we're able to recognize when we need protection sooner. It becomes as an instinct that we don't allow ourselves to fall once again to the arms of Satan and his hold that he can have on us. You know, and as we read the Psalms, we realize King David was constantly asking God for protection in his life and felt assured no matter what, he would have it. Let's go back and read a few of them. Let's turn back to Psalms, please. Let's go to Psalms 34. Psalms 34, verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. But we will go through many afflictions in this life. You will be guaranteed of that. You know, we all know Christ said he suffered, and we will too. We're going to go through those afflictions. I'd like to read another one. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to. If not, I'll be there momentarily. Psalms 46 and 1. It says, God is our refuge and he's our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. You know, he is there. If it's natural calamity, if it's direct interference with Satan in our lives, from the people around us, or that which we come in contact with, whatever it is, he promises that he's our refuge and our strength, and he will be there for us. Psalm 57 and 1. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge, unless these calamities have passed by. You know, many times in David's life he begged for God's mercy to save him and protect him. Even when some of the time, in some of the cases, you know, David had caused the disaster that had come upon him as well as Israel, he still knew in his heart to reach out. He knew what his source was of protection. He knew what he needed. And he was always willing to go back to that well. And we, brethren, too, need to do that. We need to go back often to that well. We need to pray for it even when we're not in the midst of it. Again, he wrote Psalm 59:1. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from the bloodthirsty men, for they wait for my life. Again, he's showing. We need to keep in mind, and we need to ask for that help. Continue. We need that protection. There's danger around us at all times. We just don't see it sometimes. Sometimes it's obvious to us. Sometimes it's not. As that lady was that I spoke of a while ago that my nephew was telling me about, certainly she didn't get up that morning expecting any such thing to happen in her life. So it behooves us, brethren, to always pray for protection in our prayers daily. That God send his angels about us and around us, just as when we come to services time to time. We pray that God send his angels around the brethren meeting around this world, provide them protection. It is a real danger. We are aware of it, We should be aware of it. We should recognize it and then ask God for help and protection from it. Psalms 138:7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand, and against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. You see, again, he's showing his trust in God. What he's saying here, what he believes. Did he sin? Did he do wrong? Did he have wrong actions? Yes. But he always went back to the source. He always went back and helped for strength and guidance and delivery, that he would be saved from his enemies. I'll read one last one. Psalm 140, verse 4 says, keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to make my steps stumble. You know, after all of these scriptures that I've read here, he wrote many, many more. And he practiced them in his heart to God, to call out on God. And we as he need to remember these same cries. We've all heard that an ounce of prevention is worth more than a pound of cure. To be on the offense rather than seeking because we're on the defense. You know, let these be practices in our lives as it was in King David's life. Let's turn back to Psalm 23. Brethren, and brethren, when you and I read the 23rd Psalm, we should claim it. You know, our first vision that comes to head shouldn't be of David sitting on a rock tuning his instrument and looking over his sheep and feeling at peace. You know, that's true. That's what it could very well have been happening at that moment. But we should be sitting on that rock and saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Because so I lack nothing that I truly need in this life or the next. You know, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. Obedience, he teaches us obedience when we trust him. He refreshes my soul. He provides all of our provisions to sustain us physically and spiritually. He guides us along the right path, the righteous path for his name's sake. You know, he's telling us to follow him down the right path and experience the blessings that I will give you. He's promised them, and he's always faithful to deliver them. Even though I walk through the valley, the darkest valley, I will face danger and despair even unto death. And I will fear no evil, for you, Christ, you, Lord, are my shepherd. Your laws and your statutes and your commandments, they comfort me because we are as one, you and I. And you gave them to me to give me life and to give it more abundantly. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, people around the world see the table that we sit at. They don't acknowledge it. They don't accept it for now. But they see that we're at a different table from the one that they sit at in this life for now. God can choose to call whom he will, when he will. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runneth over. You know, surely that tells us the gift of the Holy Spirit in my life and yours cannot be measured. It's precious. Surely your goodness and love will follow me or protect me and watch over me all the days of my life in this physical existence. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, also in that spiritual existence that we will have for eternity. You know, brethren, to be obedient to read this and speak the words of God is overshadowed by the obedience to live to the words God has spoken to us. To be obedient to read and speak the words of God is overshadowed by the obedience to live by the words which God has spoken to us. Show an application. Trust it. Believe it. That's what brings results. That's what brings blessings and curses. We can have a word from our heart, but we first have to trust that word. We have to use that word. We have to believe in it. We have to live to it. And so we should. You know, King David also wrote a famous psalm that many people read as a prayer of protection. Actually, the heading above the scripture says, Promises of Protection, in my New King James Version of the Bible. Let's turn to Psalm 91, brethren. Let's read it. Let's think about it in our own lives. Let's apply our day. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, or you shall rest, under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be a shield and a buckler. You know, last week Bertus was going through these holy armors of God that we put on. You shall not be afraid of terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. You know, we have to come to that. We want to come to that measure within our hearts, that no matter what happens in this life, that we trust Him. Nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. You know, as a king and as a soldier, as a shepherd, David experienced all of these things that we're reading about, didn't he, in his life. And in some ways, we do also. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. You know, God promises it. We will see that in time. You know, we're subject to time, and that really bothers us, don't it? You know, time is obedient to God. Time's not obedient to you and I. We have to be obedient to Him in this life. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. We'll do all these things, but we have to be continually asking for that protection, asking for that guidance, asking for that wisdom that helps us to rebury that old Jesse when he starts coming out again, to put him back down in that watery grave. Because we have our part in it. As I said earlier, it is a two-edged sword. It's a two-way relationship. Verse 14, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me. And you know, right here, as we read this, we can place our name there. And we can have that faith, and we can have that trust, and we can have that assurance that He will deliver. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. He promises. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The Psalm of David helps one realize why God says that he's a man after God's own heart. Because as we know from the scriptures and reading the scriptures, David messed up many times. Probably the most dysfunctional family that we'll read about in the scriptures. But he understood and trusted God. And he claimed it to himself. And that's why God said of him that he was a man after his own heart. You and I can be the same, brethren. through all the calamity and all the stupidness and all the things that we do that could cause us to fall back, if we continue to come back and we continue to trust and we continue to ask for that protection and that guidance and that wisdom and that strength, in the end, it will lift us up. You know, as a king again and as a soldier and as a shepherd, David's life found application in these words. And when we do look into this world, we realize that God has protected us from many things. You know, this thing with the quote-unquote fake news, all the little things that we see that take up the time of the news, you know, unless you are avid in searching for your news, there's still Christians around the world that are being beheaded for claiming a relationship with Jesus Christ. There are still people being murdered in mass numbers. There are many things that are still going on. But Satan wants to hide that. Satan wants to distract us. You know, we're told, what is it, Luke 21, watch therefore and pray always. The Olivet Prophet, Matthew 24, we're supposed to be watching. But it's hard to watch when what we're watching on our TVs is basically, many times, not really giving us the right answer, the full answer, the true answer. And we have to seek for the truth. And we have to look for it. And we have to recognize that Satan's just as powerful now as he's ever been. Let's turn over to Isaiah, brethren. As we've seen, we have our part in our own protection by being at one with God, trusting Him in every need. We should also find comfort and promises in the protection when it's out of our hands. And so in Isaiah 41, we begin reading in verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. He will hold on. He will never let go. I remember as a father with my little children, used to love to go to the park and walk. And you know, it's ironic, and I just watched this with Jared and his nephew there. It's the little kid that lets go of the hand. And when you have a hold to a child's hand, most of the time it's that little kid that lets go and walks away or goes away for a moment. And many times they'll come back. But see, the God's the same with us. He's going to hold on as long as we'll hold on to His hand. It's we the ones that pull away and go away from that protection. We need to return. 2 Samuel 22. And we'll read verses 3 and 4. The God of my strength, in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you saved me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Samuel understood it. We need to work to understand it also. Deuteronomy 31. These are scriptures that we can keep in mind. These are scriptures that we could even write down, that we could have somewhere, that when we fall into fear, some people suffer anxiety and they suffer fears in this life. Write these scriptures down. Keep them close by. Remind yourself of others who had fear in their life but called out of God. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. We have that promise. We have that protection. We need that protection continually. Let's turn over to John, the book of John. The book of John, chapter 10. Christ said, I will give, verse 28, I'm sorry, brethren. We'll read there from 28 to 30. I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are as one. You know, brethren, I want to look at something that's said in this passage here, and in a sense divert for just a little bit from the theme of this message, to look at this word perish. You know, sometimes we could be facing death for whatever reasons, persecutions, disease, all the different things in this life that can come upon us. And we may consider, with the help of Satan's attitude, of course, always trying to persuade us not to trust God and His Word, to ask, wait a minute, He promised He would never leave me, as we just read here. He'd fight my battles, He'd lift me up, He would protect me, and now here I am, and I may die. And people feel this, and they fear this, and I think we all could. And this is hard. This sends you deep down into your soul looking for answers when you come in and live to something of this. And I do want to look at this word from God's perspective of remes, if you will, and not from the Greek Roman mythology of logic that you and I, brethren, carry in our heads for the most of the time. You see, when the Holy Spirit came to the Virgin Mary, she conceived. Jesus Christ, from a spirit, became an embryo within her, his flesh and blood. And he was born, and he lived his life. And he set the example. And then, upon his accepting all of our sins and the sins of the world, He gave His life for us and made that sacrifice, so in turn we could become as He is in spirit. Well, what did He do? When we repent of our sins, when we're baptized, when we have the laying on of the hands and the Holy Spirit comes into us, what happens? That eternal spirit lives in you and I, brethren, in our lives. And that spirit can never die. Death is but the batting of an eye. We tend to think in the word of perish as the world sees perish. But we have to realize, no, we're coming back, aren't we? There's a resurrection. He has a greater purpose for us. Matthew 10:28, we won't turn here, but it says, fear not the one that kills the body, but fear the one who can kill the body and the soul. You know, this physical body may perish, but that embryo that is within each and every one of us will come to its maturity because Christ has overthrown Satan. He's overthrown that power. He cannot be touched by that power. The only one that can abort that embryo that's in you and I, brethren, is you and I. We're the one that can quench that spirit. No longer trust, walk away from, turn away from it. Decide that we can't accept it anymore. As Christians, or even as humans, you know, we want to think of God's protection in our life as sometimes some type of Star Wars type feel, don't we? You know, we want it to surround us and overcome us, and not to allow any harm to come to us. You know, when we've accepted that walk in God, sometimes we have that attitude in our minds and hearts. And that is true when you look at it through the eyes of eternity. But sometimes we are allowed to die in this physical death, in this life. You know, we must realize that we live in a world that has fallen. And even until our death, we have free moral agency to follow God or not to follow God. You know, sometimes God works in ways that we just don't comprehend quite fully. Sometimes that protection comes in the form of accepting peace of mind of the disparity that we're facing and what we're in. Sometimes God's intervention directly ends a trial that we're going through or that we're being consumed by. Sometimes being in the middle of a fire, God is a fireman, comes in and scoops us up off of our feet and delivers us to safety. Sometimes God allows our physical perishing because our faith and trust in God are strong, and it can become a witness to others to help them. I've witnessed this several times in my life. You know, sometimes even if our coming to perish is of our own doing, God delivers us. Why? Because he has something more that he intends to fulfill in our life and to use us for down the road in his plan. We don't see it. He did more with my dad. It was certainly hard to see that night, but it happened. He's working out a plan. He has all sovereignty. He has all rights to our bodies, to our minds, and to our souls. But he, as he promised, will never leave us. He'll never do that. We have assurances from God of protection. You know, so we must trust for it. We must reach in and do our part. And in the end, he will deliver us. You know, as the time draws closer to the end, the scriptures say there will be those that will be martyred for righteous sake. We don't dwell on those things. We don't want to dwell on those things, but we want to come to the trust in God that if it happens, we'll accept it. Because of that greater protection and what he will use us to do in his kingdom cannot be measured to the things that we may suffer or go through in this life. He loves us with a love that I don't think humanly can comprehend. I really don't. So let's trust God for protection. Let's ask him for it daily. Let's believe in it. Let's live to it. Let's encourage others when others are down or when others are feeling fear or anxiety within themselves. Let's uplift them. Let's lift them up. That's what fellowship's about. Let's make a difference. Let's add value to those in life around us as God adds value to ours. We do those things, brethren. He will protect us, and we can proclaim his protection all throughout all our days and to all eternity. Brethren, have a good Sabbath.